This is a really quick one, and it's just on eye tumours. So all the differentials for eye tumours and how to spot the different ones in the exam. So let's head straight into retinoblastoma. Retinoblastoma is a tumour of kids. It's usually diagnosed by around the age of 2. The vast majority are diagnosed by age 4. They are picked up when they are spotted to have loss of the red reflex. These are intraorbital tumours, unlike a lot of the other ones. So within the orbit, they often are bilateral in about 30 to 40%. The majority are unilateral, 60 to 70%. I'm not going to go into inheritance, but they are autosomal dominantly inherited if they are bilateral. The description here in an exam should be a retinal mass, intraocular retinal mass with calcification, plus minus necrotic debris, plus very vascular on Doppler. So that's what it will look like in an exam. Histology, there are some specific histology things to look for. So one of them is the Flexner Wintersteiner rosettes, which are specific for retinoblastoma, which you find on histology if a question mentions those. Flexner is spelled flex and then N-E-R, and Wintersteiner as it sounds, Wintersteiner. So Flexner Wintersteiner rosettes on histology are specific for retinoblastoma. The other ones, Homer Wright pseudo rosettes, that's Wright with a W, these are not specific, so they are found in other PNET tumours too. They do metastasize, and they can metastasize either directly into the orbit and then into the optic nerve and into the brain, or they can metastasize within the subarachnoid space and cause leptomeningeal metastases. So in summary, retinoblastoma, majority are unilateral, 60 to 70% in kids, diagnosed by age 2, loss of red reflex. They look like a retinal mass with calcification, plus minus necrotic debris, very vascular on Doppler. They have two features, two specific features on histology, Flexner Wintersteiner rosettes, which are specific for retinoblastoma, and Homer Wright, Wright with a W, pseudo rosettes, which are not specific. They are also found in other PNET tumours. That's retinoblastoma. Next is rhabdomyosarcoma. Like with retinoblastoma, it's usually kids, mostly Caucasian, mostly male. By kids, I mean below the age of around 15. Classical presentation, a rapidly enlarging mass, which is usually painless and causes proptosis and double vision. You can get edema of the eyelid as the mass invades the eyelid. Most books say that the retino or rhabdomyosarcomas will distort the globe but not actually invade it. And they are really, really aggressive. So they spread through the sinuses, usually the ethmoid sinus, and also spread superiorly to the anterior cranial fossa. They're quite destructive to bone as well. On CT, they'll be homogeneous, soft tissue density, and they'll be isodense to the normal muscle. Specifically look for these when they spread into the ethmoid sinus and the anterior cranial fossa. Anterior cranial fossa. They're usually enhanced. Often on T1, they're normal intermediate intensity, the same as the muscle around it. And in T2, they're usually quite hyper intense. And I've mentioned that they enhance with gadolinium. How do you treat them? Treatment is usually radiotherapy and chemotherapy. The 5-year survival is decent, it's about 90%. Most places now don't do radical surgery. This might be in an exam question. Usually it's just a biopsy to confirm diagnosis. But there are some centres that do a debulking surgery. But generally, it's just radiotherapy and chemotherapy now. So that's retinoblastoma and rhabdomyosarcoma. Hopefully they sound different enough that I can pick those up in an exam. What else is there? Hang on, I'll find a few more to do. Now we'll do primary lymphoma of the orbit. It's one of the most common orbital tumours, and it's not Hodgkin's. It's normally B-cell non-Hodgkin's disease. Now this is not in kids. This is adults and older adults, so between 50 and 70. And they can present in loads of different ways because it involves lots of different parts of the orbit. In about a quarter of patients, remember these are aged 50 to 70, and it's B-cell non-Hodgkin's disease. In about a quarter of them, they present with something called a salmon red patch of swollen conjunctiva. That's if the conjunctiva is the primary site of involvement. They get something called a salmon red patch. That'll be a dead giveaway in an exam. The rest of them, which is the majority, 75%, who don't have this salmon red patch, don't have conjunctival involvement, will present with an orbital mass. The orbital mass is usually quite close to the lacrimal gland. They have exophthalmos, they have ptosis, and often double vision and funny eye movements. Not funny, haha, we mean abnormal eye movements. It's usually painless, and their vision is usually okay. It's unlikely to infiltrate the globe or the optic nerve. So that's why the vision's okay. Normally the lymphoma will encase the globe, but it won't actually infiltrate it and it won't distort it either. Unlike rhabdomyosarcoma, which will distort the globe. The mass might spread around or surround the extraocular muscles. It might even displace them. But normally on MR, you can tell that the muscles are not involved and they're not the origin of the tumour. And that's a really good way of distinguishing a lymphoma from other orbital masses. Like all lymphomas, the eye lymphoma is also really densely cellular. So on MR, you'll see on T1, it's iso or hypo-intense. On T2, it's iso or hyper-intense. And there is restricted diffusion on the DWI and ADC. Prognosis-wise, obviously the conjunctival one, 25% of them, is a lot better. Generally, it's not bad as cancers go. Some studies suggest that less than 5% of patients with a lymphoma in the eye eventually die from the disease. The majority of them will die of something else. So, overview of eye lymphoma. It is the majority of primary orbital malignancies, so more than 50% are lymphomas. 25% have conjunctiva only, and that's the salmon red patch of swollen conjunctiva. The rest of them have an orbital mass, usually in close proximity to the lacrimal gland, exophthalmos, ptosis, and funny eye movements and blurred vision. Usually painless, usually doesn't. It can encase but doesn't infiltrate the globe or the optic nerve, and vision is normally fine. It's a non-Hodgkin's B-cell lymphoma. Just a quick note, it's usually age 50 to 70 adults, but it can occur in older kids or adolescents. And sometimes it can be hypo-intense on T2. That's, I think, enough for eye lymphoma. Capillary hemangioma of the orbit. That's also called a strawberry hemangioma because of its colour. These are in infants. So they're also called orbital infantile hemangiomas. And they're the most common orbital tumours of infant babies. We'll do orbital cavernous hemangiomas next, which are vascular malformations. But capillary hemangiomas are not vascular malformations. These are neoplasms. You usually find them in the eye, anterior to the globe or in the eyelid. And you'll see them at birth or very soon after birth. So that should set them apart from other differentials in the list. The natural history of capillary hemangiomas is they have a proliferative phase, which lasts for about a year. And then they're stable. And then they gradually involute over a few years. They have rapid, persistent enhancement on CT and MR. On plain MR without gadolinium, you'll find it's iso or hyperintense relative to muscle on T1 and also on T2. So increased intensity, both T1 and T2, more so on T2. And you will see flow voids at the periphery or within the tumour. It's usually isolated eye disease and they're very rarely associated with systemic hemangiomas. There is something called FACE syndrome, which is P-H-A-C-E. That's a syndrome of P, which is the posterior fossa malformations, for Dandy Walker, for example. H, hemangiomas, A, arterial anomalies, C, coarctation of the aorta and cardiac anomalies, and E, ocular or eye anomalies for E. If there's sternal clefting as well, that's called FACES, they put an S on the end. But most hemangiomas are not associated with FACES. As I've said, they will involute by themselves. Only rarely injection of corticosteroids is used, but only if vision's affected. Otherwise, leave them well alone. Leave them well alone? Well alone. So to summarise, capillary hemangiomas of the orbit, this will be in the first few months of life diagnosed. Usually it's a periorbital subcutaneous mass. So it can be that it's palpable and it causes proptosis or ptosis or double vision. You can't really tell if it's double vision in a baby, so visual deterioration, I guess. In front of the globe, in the eyelid. Often they don't need any radiology at all and they only do it if the diagnosis is not clear or if they think the lesion has a deeper component to see how deep it goes. So that is retinoblastoma, rhabdomyosarcoma, lymphoma and capillary hemangioma. We've got one more, that is the cavernous hemangioma. I think the song is finished. Let's come up with a new song rather than repeat the same one again.
Beautiful girl, and everything around her is just so- silver pool of light. People who surround and feel the benefit of it, it made you count. She'll hold you captivated in a pound. Suddenly I see, suddenly I see, this is what I wanna be. Suddenly I see,
suddenly I see. Right, cavernous hemangiomas. These are not actually tumours, so the name hemangioma suggests it's a tumour, but it's not, because there's actually no proliferation of cells at all. It's just a gradually enlarging vascular malformation. So some people prefer to call it a cavernous malformation. They are classically, over 80% of them, if they're in the eye, will be within the intraconal compartment, most commonly lateral. Lateral, intraconal. For cavernous hemangiomas. Usually they're round or oval and they're around the globe. They don't deform the globe, but the malformation itself is deformed by the globe because they're obviously very soft. The bigger hemangiomas can expand the bony orbit as well. You can ultrasound and you'll see a really smoothly, well demarcated retrobulbar lesion. There will be moderate echogenicity, but you won't see any flow on Doppler at all. So when they're small, the cavernous hemangiomas are well circumscribed, rounded, oval, soft masses. As they get bigger, they do become deformed because they're soft. You often get sparing of the apex of the orbit. They're hyper-intense on T2 and with gadolinium, there is slow, gradual, irregular enhancement with delayed washout. They'll only present to hospital or GP with a slowly growing orbital mass causing proptosis. Sometimes they get double vision or visual field defects if it's compressing the optic nerve. So that's it. That's cavernous hemangiomas. That's the main five that I've come across in most exam questions. If I come across any more, then I will do another episode of extra eye tumours. But that should be enough, I think. So I've done retinoblastoma, rhabdomyosarcoma, lymphoma, cavernous hemangiomas, and something else. Let me also mention one quick thing about muscle pathology. So classically, the two muscle pathologies are Graves' disease and idiopathic orbital inflammatory syndrome. Graves' disease, you will have enlarged muscles, but the tendons will be spared. With idiopathic orbital inflammatory syndrome, the tendons will be involved also. The muscles that are involved with Graves' disease, that spares the tendons from most commonly involved to least commonly involved, are the inferior rectus, middle rectus, superior rectus, and lateral rectus. So that's Graves' disease, which spares the tendons, and idiopathic orbital inflammatory syndrome, also called a pseudotumor, which does not spare tendons. And Graves' disease involves the inferior rectus, middle rectus, superior rectus, and lateral rectus in that order.
Hi guys, before you listen to your episode today, we just wanted to take a moment and say thank you because this project has snowballed. We have hundreds of listeners and it's lovely to hear. It was a novel idea and it seems to have worked, and we have so much more in store for you from December. We have lots of new hosts joining us, each with their own character, their own unique taste in music and their own style. We will have more songs, mnemonics, rhymes, and lots of ways for you to remember things. That is all coming up from December and it's going to be so much fun. For the moment, we are putting a temporary break on new material just because the exam is looming and we are all taking it. We do have the odd half an hour here and there, however, so if there are specific topics that you'd love us to cover that you can listen to on your commute, then please do drop us a voice message and we'll do our best to do it as soon as possible. We've reached the home stretch and the finish line is in sight, so get your heads down, give it one last push, and from the team at Songs for FRCR, good luck.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.